Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All right, good morning, jurors. You may be seated. Cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Ms. Zachary.
Good morning.
Ms. Zachary, in this case, you agreed to cooperate with the state. Is that true?
Yes.
And you agreed to come in and testify against Ms. Gutierrez-Reed. Is that correct?
Yes.
And as part of that, you entered into a cooperation agreement with the state. Is that right?
Yes.
And that cooperation agreement indicates that if you agree to testify, and you have to provide truthful testimony, that you will not be prosecuted for any crime. Is that right?
Yes.
So, as part of your being here, you have a complete immunity from being prosecuted, correct?
I guess.
Well,
can you speak up, please?
Yes. Sorry, I'm a little close.
It's okay. Is that better? Is that your understanding of the document that you have a complete, that you're not going to be prosecuted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you testified yesterday that you had, as far as the props roles, you were Hannah's boss in that role. Is that right?
I wouldn't say boss, I guess a supervisor. What I said goes with props.
And Hannah was a props assistant, correct?
Part-time.
Okay. And she was also a part-time armorer?
Full-time.
Your understanding, she was part-time props and full-time armorer?
Armor was her main duty, yes.
Okay, but she was also doing props as well, correct?
When there was no firing of any guns, yes.
Well, didn't you ask her on several occasions, for example, to do things like rolling cowboy cigarettes?
That was one day.
Well, you asked her to prop up other characters at times, right?
The only props that other characters had were the guns.
They didn't have their belts?
Yeah, they had belts.
And they didn't have, for example, glasses or other items that they needed to have on them?
What type of glasses are you talking about?
Anything you'd have in a Western movie, hats, glasses. They didn't have other props?
Those are wardrobe.
Okay. What other props were there with regard to these actors besides firearms?
There were very miscellaneous things depending on the scene. There was a day where we were in a saloon. There were whiskey glasses. There were rolled cigarettes. There were poker sets, those kind of things.
And those props had to be provided to those actors, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you also testified that you had some armor duties, correct?
Correct.
And so you were in that role assisting Ms. Gutierrez-Reed, right?
Correct.
And as part of that, you loaded and unloaded guns on the set?
Correct.
Now, you were trained, I think you said, by Seth Kenney on a prior film?
Yes.
How much training did you receive from Seth Kenney?
I had maybe 10 days to prep for that set, so within that amount of time, when I would meet him, he would show me how to work with the guns and ammo.
So did you feel proficient, very good, in working with guns and ammo?
In what I was using, yes.
Were you, I think you've said in the past, and you can tell me if you disagree, that you were not able to tell a dummy round from a live round?
I don't recall saying that.
Okay. Now, yesterday you testified that you weren't familiar with the single action revolver. Is that right?
I didn't say, are you talking about when I entered or started Rust?
Yes.
Yes.
And so, as we sit here today, do you know the difference between a single action and a double action?
Yes, now I do.
Okay, and what is that difference?
Well, what we are using on Rust, between the two, it involves how you load them and unload them. From my understanding,
the difference in functional characteristics between a single action and a double action.
So with the single action revolver, I believe that's what we were working on with Rust. That was with cocking the hammer back and the trigger at the same time to load and unload the cylinder. Whereas with a double action, that the cylinder flips out.
The cylinder flips out.
Sorry. The cylinder comes out on the side to load the revolver and closes back.
Before Rust, had you worked with a single action type revolver?
No.
So on the prior set with Mr. Kenney, he had just shown you a double action?
Yes.
Okay. So with yourself and Ms. Gutierrez-Reed, you also had Nicole Montoya helping, is that right?
Correct.
And Nicole Montoya was also a props assistant, is that right?
Yes.
Now, I think you said yesterday that you knew that there was going to be an armor and an armor's assistant. Did you say that?
I knew that Hannah was going to act as both.
Okay. Was it your understanding that on this film that there was supposed to be an armor and an armor's assistant at first?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with regard to your armor duties, we know that you loaded and unloaded weapons. Did you also take those at times to the actors?
Yes.
And I think we saw a video yesterday where, and see if you remember the scene, Mr. Baldwin is coming out of a little structure. He's shooting towards the cameras up with a blank round. He runs up the hill with the child actor, and then he gets, and somebody yells cut, and he still shoots, and then he cusses. Do you remember that scene?
I believe so, yes.
And it appeared, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you were on that video running towards Mr. Baldwin after he shot. Is that what happened?
I'd have to see the video.
Okay. I bet you don't recollect it right now as we sit here.
Not at the moment.
Okay. On how many occasions did you yourself take firearms to actors?
Whenever Hannah needed it.
Okay. When she needed assistance?
Yes.
Okay. You were working under Seth Kenney's license, is that correct?
Yes.
And that's with PDQ Props?
Correct.
And as part of that, are you on his paperwork as being an employee?
I believe so.
And so you weren't actually working physically at his business, but you were on the paperwork, you were working with PDQ Props. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Yesterday, you indicated that, first you said that you had thrown away the revolvers, but that was just a mis— you just got ahead of yourself, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. In reality, what you did is you threw away rounds from two revolvers, is that correct?
Correct.
And that was right, that was after the shooting, correct?
Yes.
Now, after the shooting, do you recall how many minutes went by, just roughly, before you threw away those rounds?
I don't recall.
In that time frame, you also had a conversation with Seth Kinney, correct?
Yes.
And on that conversation, you had texted him previously before that and said emergency?
After the incident, yes.
And then you all talked, and do you recall him giving you any instruction or advice as to what you were calling about? And don't tell what he said, but do you recall him giving you any information?
No.
Okay. So, do you recall anything from that phone call? Again, not telling us what Mr. Kinney said, but do you recall anything from that phone call?
Yes.
What do you recall?
Just him mortified.
Okay. And don't talk about his words again, but just so your impression was he was mortified.
Yes.
Okay. How long did that phone call last?
As I said yesterday, possibly 30 seconds, a minute.
So then in that time frame, you then throw rounds away from the two revolvers that you had previously loaded, right?
I believe so, yes.
So the two revolvers that you loaded, again, were the Jensen Ackles revolver, right? Mm-hmm. And then this Sven?
Sven.
Sven. How do you say his name?
Sven.
Okay, Sven. So those two revolvers you threw the rounds away from?
Yes.
And you threw them in a trash can?
Correct.
Now, you didn't tell anybody at the scene that you had thrown those away, right?
I didn't tell anyone, but it was in a public place. If someone saw me, then yeah.
Well, you didn't want to let anybody know that, did you?
They weren't the rounds in question, so I didn't think it mattered, and I had honestly forgotten.
Well, you knew that somebody had been shot, at least one person had been shot, correct?
Correct.
You knew that 911 had been called, is that right?
I didn't hear anybody call 911, but I had assumed.
And you would have assumed that the police would have to respond to a shooting, correct?
Sure.
And so as part of that, wouldn't you think that the police would want to see everything on set?
Yes.
So when you throw away rounds that they may have wanted to see, don't you understand that to be an issue?
No, because again, it wasn't the rounds in question.
But that isn't your determination, right, to determine what's in question. That is the law enforcement's determination, correct?
Okay.
Well, would you agree with me on that?
Sure.
So law enforcement's going to come, and you understand they're going to investigate what happened, and the rounds that you're throwing away could be possible evidence that would assist them. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
And so when you made that decision, was that, in fact, Mr. Kinney directing you to do something?
No.
You threw away those rounds and the two revolvers that you loaded. Was it your intention to get rid of the evidence that you had done? In other words, the two you had loaded?
No.
Now, you also, as I understand, took firearms, or you and a couple other people intended to take firearms to the prop truck. Is that correct?
Yes.
And did you take revolvers? Did you take long guns? Do you recall?
It was whatever was on the cart, but I didn't end up taking them back.
You and who was it? Was it Daniel and Nicole?
Correct.
And so the three of you started out to take the firearms from the prop cart to the prop truck. Is that right?
Yes.
How many firearms were there that you were taking back?
I believe from a separate interview, I had said something around 9.
So all 9 of those firearms, were those Seth Kinney's firearms?
I believe so.
All 9 you all wanted to take back to the prop truck. You were removing them from the prop cart right after the shooting, correct?
Yes.
You said you didn't take them back, but did you start with them to start taking them back?
I did.
And what made you turn around then?
I got a text message or phone call from Brian Norvell, and he asked me to bring Hannah her personal bag.
Where was her personal bag?
I believe on the cart.
So you then removed the personal bag from the cart and took
Correct.
That? I'm sorry?
Correct.
Okay. And then who did you take that to?
To Hannah.
Okay. When you took it to Hannah, her personal bag from the cart, where was she located when you gave that to her?
She was with Brian behind one of the houses in the town.
So we have the church. We've seen the church, and we've seen where that was located. Where was the house where Brian and Hannah were staying at that time?
It was down the hill a little east, northeast of the church.
Did you know why Brian and Hannah were standing over there after the shooting over by the house?
It was my understanding that Brian was consoling Hannah.
Okay. So, in any event, you walked her personal bag from the cart all the way to where they were at?
Yes.
Okay. And that was at Brian Norvell's direction?
Yes.
So, you would agree with me, at that point, you didn't have an... I mean, that was somebody else telling you to do something.
Yes.
Okay. But... And it's not your fault on that one, but in terms of taking that bag, I'm not trying to say that. But would you agree with me that that then took something from the prop cart as well?
Sure.
At that moment, okay. And again, this is before law enforcement has arrived?
I believe so, but I don't remember.
Okay. Now, yesterday you said that you had thrown away the rounds in a state of shock and panic. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Now, did you previously state that you had thrown them away because you had done that before?
That I have thrown away dummies before.
Okay. So, in your pretrial interview, you mentioned that part of the reason you threw those away was that you had done that before after scenes, correct?
Sometimes, yes, if I didn't need them.
So... would you agree with me? You've given two explanations for why you threw away the rounds in a shock and panic, and that you had previously done something like that, throwing away rounds. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Are these dummy rounds? These are obviously reusable, aren't they?
They are.
So when you throw them away, somebody has paid for those, like production or, production. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Did they instruct you, production instruct you, to throw those rounds away after scenes?
No.
So, this is their property. Would you agree with me? The dummy rounds?
I mean, you throw away blanks afterwards, too.
Well, if blanks can be reused again, wouldn't you agree with me that those are something that the set could use again, that they purchased?
Blanks can't be reused.
Okay, well then, how about dummies?
Sure.
So, again, my question was, would you agree that's their property that you're throwing away?
I guess so.
Okay. So, you made the decision to throw away the rounds, and you then interviewed with the police on October 21st. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And that was the same day?
Yes.
And do you recall whether you told them that you had thrown away those rounds?
I don't recall if I did or not.
Did you tell anybody else that you had thrown away those rounds?
I believe Nicole was standing there when it happened, so I'm sure she saw.
Okay. After the shooting had happened, did Ms. Gutierrez read... did you see the rounds that came out of the revolver?
She showed me, yes.
And did you see what happened to those rounds after she showed you?
No.
Did you take possession of the spent casing from Ms. Gutierrez Reed?
I believe I might have. I know I had said that before.
Yes. And so Ms. Gutierrez Reed hands you the spent casing, which is the one that's been fired, correct?
Yes.
And then what did you do with that spent casing?
I believe I took it over to the prop cart.
What happened to the other rounds that Ms. Gutierrez-Reed had shown you from that revolver?
I don't know.
Did you follow up to see what had happened with them?
No.
Okay. With regard to that live round after you put it on the cart, did you touch that again?
Touch the spent casing?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So you came back over, then did you go and check other rounds to determine whether you believed them to be live?
Yes, as I said yesterday, I did check the box that was on top of the cart.
Okay. Now, there were multiple boxes on the cart, correct?
I believe so, yes.
And so, did you rattle some of those rounds?
In the one box, yes, that was on top.
And you determined that you believed there were... I think there was a statement that, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but that you thought maybe half of them might be live?
That was an original statement, yes.
And in hindsight, do you think that's not correct?
As I said yesterday, I don't think that's correct.
Okay. But in any event, you determined that some of them were live in your belief?
Yes.
And who did you tell that to?
Law enforcement.
Okay. On the day of the shooting on October 21st, do you recall there being any safety meeting?
No.
That same day, there's no safety meeting. Do you remember right before the incident in the church, did Hannah take the revolver to go check it with Dave Halls?
Yes.
Okay. You were not in the church, correct?
I was not.
And you were located outside. Where were you?
I was at the prop truck. Or not, sorry, prop cart.
Prop cart. And your cart, was it to the right of the church?
When you're looking at the church at the front door, then yes, to the right of it.
Okay. The revolvers that you remove rounds from and throw them away, do you remember how many rounds were in them?
I do not.
Okay, so you're not able to tell us whether there were six or whether less, you don't know?
It's been 2.5 years, no.
Okay. But you did testify yesterday, you said that they were dummies.
Correct.
How did you know that?
I personally checked them.
And then you don't remember how many of them there were, though?
No.
When you interviewed with law enforcement, did they ask you for your phone?
On the day of?
Yes.
I don't believe so.
And you had been texting and talking to Seth Kenny, right?
Correct.
Had you been texting and talking to anybody else that day?
I don't remember.
Okay. After the shooting, well, let me back up. Yesterday, I think you mentioned, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you wouldn't talk to Alec Baldwin much on that set. Is that fair?
No.
Okay. Did you have Mr. Baldwin's cell phone number before the shooting?
No.
Did you ever text him before the shooting?
No.
Do you recall that you did text him after the shooting?
Yes.
And how did you get Mr. Baldwin's number?
His assistant had personally contacted me because I was in contact with him before, while we were shooting, and he had requested to talk to me.
Okay, and so after the shooting, you and Mr. Baldwin, do you talk on the phone also?
Yes.
And you also text?
A couple times.
Do you recall making the statement on October 31st, 2021, that Alec called me and I'm trying to make sure I keep my facts straight?
Yes.
And do you recall you made that statement to Seth Kenny?
Yes.
How many calls and how many calls, let's start with that, did you have with Alec Baldwin after the shooting?
Maybe 3.
And did you discuss the facts of what happened with him?
It was more theorizing because we both didn't know what happened. He mainly would call and ask questions that I didn't have answers to.
He was asking questions about the events and what might have happened, right?
Correct.
Did you ask him questions?
No.
You also texted with him several times. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. You recall also making a statement on or about October 23rd, 2021, that you had talked to Alec, and he's having a difficult time recalling things, like most of us, but he thinks that Dave handed him the gun.
I don't know who that was with.
If I showed you a text message, would that refresh your memory?
Yes.
May I approach you?
Thank you, sir.
And I'm going to show you, I'm asking you not to read it out loud, but just read the top text. And when you're done reading, just let us know. Are you finished?
Yes.
And if I can have that back. Thank you. Does that refresh your memory?
It does.
Okay. Do you recall making the statement that you had talked to Alec, and he's having a difficult time recalling things like most of us, but he thinks that Dave handed him the gun?
I do.
And that would you recall making that with Seth Kenny?
Yes.
Okay. After the shooting occurred and the incident occurred, did you go back on or about October 27th for the search of the prop truck?
That would have to be the day that the police were there.
And you may not recall the day, but do you recall it being 5 or 6 days after the shooting?
I don't recall the day.
Okay. Prior to going, did you provide the code to the safe to Seth Kenny?
I believe I did.
Before you had provided him that code, who had the code to the safe?
Hannah, me, and Nicole.
You then gave the code to Seth Kenny. Did you give that code to anyone else?
I don't think so.
The prop truck search happens. Are you present for that search?
They were there before I got there. They had already started the process.
When you got there, was Seth Kenny there?
Yes.
Did you retrieve some of your personal belongings that day?
Not until after the police cleared out.
Okay. Before that search, had you retrieved some of your personal belongings from the set?
I had attempted to go back because everyone else was able to go back to their trucks to retrieve their things, but ours was still locked, so I was not able to retrieve anything.
Okay. Ultimately, you did retrieve your property?
Correct.
Okay. At one point, there was a negligent discharge on set we've heard about, and that involved you handling a firearm, is that right?
Yes.
And again, you were trying to let the hammer down, and you had your finger on the trigger, and then it went off, is that correct?
Yes.
And that was with one of the revolvers?
Correct.
After that, didn't you have a disagreement with Ms. Gutierrez-Reed?
A small one, yes.
Did you thereafter have discussions with people about wanting to fire Hannah?
I didn't want to fire her. I had my disagreements with her, but I never actually fired her or wanted to.
Okay, you said you didn't want to fire her?
No.
Do you recall being interviewed on November 2nd, 2023 in this case?
Yes.
And you were asked the question, okay, did you want to fire her? Your answer is yes, and that's on page 19, 2 to 3. Did you want to fire her? You said yes.
Okay.
Do you recall saying that?
I do.
Okay, so Is it true, then, that you wanted to fire her?
From props, yes.
Okay, but a second ago you said you had not made that statement, but...
Yeah, I'm correcting myself now.
Okay. So the reality is that you had wanted to fire her?
From props.
Yes. And other people had wanted to fire her as well, right?
From Seth, or...
Just in general.
I believe Seth wanted me to do something about it, yes.
And I think what you just stated is you did not do anything, ultimately.
I did not, no.
One of the reasons why you had wanted to fire Hannah is that you didn't feel she was doing enough with her props duties.
Correct.
And you communicated that to Hannah as well, right?
I did not.
You did not tell her that? That you wanted her to do more in her props duties?
I don't think I actually told her that. I just had asked her to do things and she didn't want to do them.
Did you know that Hannah and Gabrielle Pickle then had a disagreement over props duties?
I did hear about it, yes.
Okay. And there was an email that you knew about?
Hannah showed me, yes.
Okay. And I'm not going to ask you to talk about the contents of it, but you did see an email on that?
Yes.
That was approximately October 16th or 17th that you had that disagreement, right? With Hannah, that small disagreement.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And so that's 5 days before the shooting.
Okay.
And then at what point was the decision made by you that you wanted to fire Hannah? Was it the 16th? Was it the 17th? Do you remember what day that was?
I don't.
You talked to Seth Kinney about that?
Yes.
How many times did you talk to him about that?
I don't know.
Now, one thing I forgot to ask you was, after the 21st, after the incident had happened, you don't have a good memory of the sequence of events?
I do not.
You remember that yourself and Nicole had been at the prop cart when the shot went off, is that right?
Yes.
And you did not see Hannah at that point, or did you?
I had not.
Okay. Right after it happened, is the next time that you remember seeing Hannah was when they were unloading the revolver?
No, she was in front of the church, by herself looking at the church.
Okay. And then at some point, they unload the revolver, and then she goes over with Brad Norvell to one of the other houses. Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Did you see Hannah get loaded into the police car?
No.
After the incident took place and you've come back and given Hannah her bag, did you talk to people on the set?
Yes.
And where were you standing when you were talking to people?
I was in the town at one point, and then back at base camp.
So, did those people include Alec Baldwin and David Halls?
No.
Who did you talk to?
Jensen and Swen and Nicole.
Did you ever see or hear about a lawyer being on set?
No.
Okay. After that, what time did you leave the set?
To go back to base camp or
home? To leave completely.
Maybe not until 9:30.
Okay, so you stayed approximately 7 or 8 hours?
Yeah.
What were you doing during that time frame?
A lot of it was waiting around. We were at base camp for a long time, waiting to be interviewed by the police.
You were interviewed then on site?
Yes.
Okay. Since you were on site, you would have had the opportunity to tell the police at that point that you had thrown those rounds away, right?
Sure.
And you don't recall whether you did that?
I don't know.
Do you feel like that's something that you would remember if you had done it?
No.
Okay, I want to... I'm sorry, just a moment, Your Honor. Do you recall ever telling law enforcement that you had thrown those rounds away?
Yes.
When was that?
I remember telling them like a month later when I was talking to Detective Alex.
Okay, we're talking about October 21st, 21, when this happened.
Yes.
And you interviewed then. And you interviewed with Mr. Scott Elliott on November 2nd, 2023, correct?
With who?
That was an interview with an investigator on this case. Mr. Elliott, do you recall that individual?
I do not.
Okay. And that interview, just to remind you, you had an attorney present. Do you remember that interview?
I remember Detective Alex.
Okay.
Elliott.
Do you not remember the interview in November of 2023 when Spirit Gaines was present?
I do not.
Okay. If I showed you a copy of this, would it might refresh your memory?
Can we approach?
Ma'am, I want to make sure that you're understanding what I'm asking. So you were interviewed with the police, as I understand it, two times. There was one on October 21st, 2021, and there was one, I think, a month later. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And do you remember being interviewed a third time in a pretrial interview in this case on November 2nd, 2023? Not with the police, but with other people involved in this case?
I believe so.
Okay. And again, I'll ask you, do you remember the attorney Spirit Gaines was present?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the interview I'm talking about. That was approximately 3 months ago.
Okay.
You recall that?
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall in that interview talking about whether you had informed law enforcement?
Of what?
About the throwing away of the rounds?
I don't recall what I said in that interview.
Okay. So that was 3 months ago, but I know you've had several interviews, but you do not remember that.
Not the specific conversation.
Okay. In any event, you did tell him at some point, you think, that you threw those rounds away. Do you recall what exactly that you told them?
I don't.
Okay. Did you also tell him that you had transported those firearms from that car? Or that you had intended to, and other people helped you?
I believe so.
Did you tell them that you had taken Hannah's personal bag to her?
I believe so.
Did you take anything else from the cart that we haven't talked about that day on October 21st, 2021?
No.
You also talked to Weston Brownlee after the shooting incident? Is that right?
He did send me a message, yes.
So you texted with him?
Briefly.
And that was about some of the things going on in this case, right?
Yes.
Do you recall being angry at Ms. Gutierrez Reed at one point on or about October 29th, 2021? You said, "I hope she's put in jail. This is outrageous."
I don't remember the specific text message. I'd have to look at it.
If I showed it to you, would it refresh your memory?
Possibly.
Now that you've had a chance to read it, does that remind you whether you said that?
Yes.
So you agree that you said, "I hope she's put in jail. This is outrageous."
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have nothing further.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. One moment.
Sure.
Ms. Zachary, you mentioned earlier that you had rattled some of the rounds to check if they were live.
Yes.
Did you notice that when law enforcement got there, the boxes were closed?
I don't remember.
Do you recall closing the box up after you had rattled the rounds?
I don't recall.
When the prop truck search was done days after the shooting, do you recall the prop cart being inside the prop truck?
When police came to retrieve the weapons, I don't remember it being in the truck.
Did you go in the prop truck during the search?
After police left, yes.
Did you see the prop cart inside of it?
I don't remember.
Did you ever get the impression, after in discussions with Mr. Kinney, that he didn't want you to say anything?
About?
About anything. Not talk about anything?
With just anyone?
Yes.
That wasn't my impression.
Okay. Do you remember a point in time when you were texting with Mr. Kinney and you had indicated that you were talking to Alec Baldwin and then he responds with an emoji?
I don't recall.
Okay. You don't recall ever getting an emoji with the hand over the mouth?
No.
Do you know what that means, that emoji that I'm talking about? One where it's just kind of going like that?
No, I mean...
Doesn't that mean to keep your mouth closed?
It's not what I see that as.
Okay. So in your testimony, you don't believe Mr. Kinney ever told you not to talk to people about what had happened? That's your testimony.
I don't recall.
Okay. All right, I have nothing further.
Redirect, thank you.
Ms. Zachary, I've got a few follow-up questions for you. Do you recall the specific language of your cooperation agreement with the state of New Mexico in terms of the requirement that you testify truthfully?
Yes.
Do you recall the specific language?
Oh, no.
Would it refresh your memory if I showed it to you?
Sure.
Take your time and review that paragraph, and then I'll ask you some questions about it. Okay. Are you required to give truthful testimony?
Yes.
What happens to your agreement with me if you don't give truthful testimony?
Then I'm not bound by the testimony or that cooperation agreement anymore.
Right. If you don't give truthful testimony, I can prosecute you if I want to, right?
Correct.
You were asked a variety of questions about whether or not you wanted to fire Ms. Gutierrez. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
In terms of your role as boss of Ms. Gutierrez, you were only her boss with regard to her work with props. Is that right?
Your Honor, I'm going to object to the... Objection.
Were you in charge of firearms on this set?
No.
Were you in charge of props?
Yes.
Explain to the jury what your role was with regard to supervising Ms. Gutierrez in her capacity as prop assistant versus armorer.
When it came to being a props assistant, that's where I would ask her to help me with those miscellaneous props that I had mentioned earlier. But armor is in a different department from my understanding, and so she was in charge of that. So what she said goes for the weapons, not props.
Does the armorer have autonomy when it comes to weapons?
Yes.
During the time that you worked with Ms. Gutierrez, did you find her to be easy to work with?
No.
During the time that you worked with Ms. Gutierrez as her supervisor in props, did she call you a cunt?
Yes.
Was it around that time that you decided you might want to fire her?
No, it was just overall. But
what else about working with Ms. Gutierrez was difficult other than her referring to you as a cunt?
Mainly, I just felt like her work ethic wasn't the greatest. She wasn't always willing to help in a year or two. She was usually wanting to be in the truck to clean guns for the day.
Did Ms. Gutierrez ever show up to set late?
One day, yes.
Did she give you a reason for that?
She had a migraine.
She told you she had a migraine?
Correct.
But she was able to show up and work at some point that day, right?
Yes.
So apparently the migraine didn't last all day?
No.
After the incident, did you have contact with Ms. Gutierrez when she was sitting in the back of Mr. Benavides's police car?
I believe so, yes.
And why were you having contact with her?
I was just checking on her to see if she was okay.
And did you ask her if she was okay?
Yes.
And what was her response?
I don't recall.
Did she express concerns to you about how this might affect her career?
Yeah.
Object.
Ms. Zachary, during that conversation, do you recall Ms. Gutierrez saying anything about her career?
Yes.
And what did she say to the best of your recollection?
I don't remember verbatim, but it was about that this was going to ruin her career.
Now, at the time that she's telling you that she's worried about her career, is there a life flight helicopter on the ground waiting for Ms. Hutchins?
Your Honor, objection again.
Overruled.
I think it was before that.
It was before life flight arrived.
It was right after the incident.
But police were on set, correct?
I don't.
Hang on a second. I'm sorry. I agree with you. When you spoke to Ms. Gutierrez, where was she?
She was in front of the church.
When you spoke to her about her concerns about her career, where was she?
She was in front of the church.
I'm sorry. She wasn't in the police car.
No, we didn't talk about that at that point.
You didn't talk about that at that point?
Not that I recall.
Okay. At the time that you spoke to her and she indicated concerns about her career, what was happening?
Chaos. Everyone was trying to figure out what happened.
Were people screaming?
It was after Joel screamed. And I know that the script supervisor was getting angry at everyone.
Do you know, was 911 being called?
I didn't, like I said before, I didn't hear 911 being called, but I assumed that they were being called.
If you know, were people laying on the floor of the church?
Joel, I saw Joel at that point.
You didn't see Ms. Hutchins?
I didn't see Helena at all.
But you understand that she was laying on the floor also.
Your objection.
At some point later, did you realize that Ms. Hutchins was injured?
I was told, yes.
And when you saw Ms. Gutierrez after the incident, was she standing at the door of the church?
She was a little further back.
At any point in time, did you see her standing at the door of the church?
No, I don't recall.
Okay. Can you explain to the jury why you thought it was important after the incident to remove the guns from the area and get them back to the truck?
Like I said, Jensen Ackles had told me to get the guns to safety, so that's what we were intending on doing, was to remove them from the site and get them back to the safe on the prop truck.
And you were asked to provide Ms. Gutierrez her personal bag, is that right?
Yes.
And I want you to describe that for the jury. What did it look like?
I don't remember.
Was it the fanny pack or not?
No objection.
That I don't think that's leading. Was it the
overrule?
Was it the fanny pack?
I don't remember.
Okay. You talked to Mr. Bowles about the fact that on occasion you would throw away dummies after a scene was shot. Why would you do that?
I didn't need them anymore.
Is that something that you did when you were working on the set of Rust?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. How many times do you think you did that during filming?
I don't know.
Do you know whether production has purchased those dummies or whether they are renting them?
At the time, I had thought they were purchased, but after reading the invoices, I found out that they were rentals.
So who were they renting them from?
The vendors, Seth Kenny and Billy Ray.
Okay. At some point, you were asked by law enforcement to agree to a full extraction of your cell phone, correct?
Yes.
And did you agree to do that?
I did.
Mr. Bowles asked you some questions about your contact with Mr. Baldwin. To the best of your recollection, what specifically was the issue that you and Mr. Baldwin spoke of?
Mainly how a live round ended up on set.
So Mr. Baldwin wanted to find out how a live round ended up on the movie set, right?
Yes.
Did you also?
I did want to know, yes.
And Mr. Bowles asked you about a text message where you indicated you were trying to keep your facts straight. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that?
I was trying to recall things correctly when I was telling people things.
Did you have difficulty recalling certain things?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, in a state of shock and when everything's crazy, I couldn't remember things quite right.
You were asked some questions about Mr. Kinney being present the day of the search of the prop truck. To be clear, where was the safe that housed the guns?
On the prop truck.
Was it inside the truck?
Yes.
And could anyone get into the safe if the truck was locked?
No.
You had to get into the truck to get into the safe?
Yes.
And you understood that the safe was locked, or that the truck was locked?
Yes.
At any point in time, if you recall, did you tell production, anyone in production, that you needed more assistance with props?
Yes.
Do you know whether it was before or after that that Ms. Pickle had a conversation with Ms. Gutierrez?
It was before.
Do you have any experience in police investigations?
No.
Do you have any idea what the police are looking for on a crime scene?
No.
Were the guns or the dummy rounds that were assigned to Mr. Ackles and Mr. Timmel involved in the incident?
No.
I don't have anything further.
Governor, may we approach briefly?
Sure.
All right, you're excused. Thank you.
I'll reserve Ms. Zachary for the record.
All right, so don't talk to the other witnesses in this case. You may be recalled. Okay, so next witness. Maybe we'll take a bathroom break. Is this gonna?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who is it?
Whatever you choose. I think he's ready. But if you'd like to take a break now, I don't mind.
All right, let's take a bathroom break. Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. We'll be back at 10. Thank you.
All right.
All right, you may be seated. Call your next witness.
The state calls Joel Souza.
Stand before the judge, raise your right hand.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. Have a seat, talk into the microphone.
Thank you.
And that water is for you.
Well, thank you.
I apologize. Mr. Souza, for the record, just state your full name.
Joel Souza.
And Mr. Souza, what... Oh, I apologize. Testing. Okay. Sir, what do you do for a living?
I am a screenwriter and a director.
I want you to move that microphone a little closer.
Sure.
Thank you. How long have you been a screenwriter and a director?
Oh, gosh. I've been a working screenwriter and director for... I wrote before I directed, so 20 years on the writing, gosh... Let me date myself here. 15 years directing.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
How did you become involved in the movie Rust?
I had made a movie called Crown Vic that came out, I think, in 2018 or 2019. And there was a time when the actor Alec Baldwin was going to be starring in that movie. And... as happens with independent movies, you sort of get ready to go, your financing falls apart, you push the boulder uphill again, your financing falls apart, you rinse and repeat endlessly, sometimes it seems like. But the schedule sort of ran out on us and he wasn't able to star in it. He stayed on as a producer. After that movie, he liked it and I think he felt like he missed out or something. So we talked about doing another project together with him as an actor. And I had a couple of things in mind, one of which I wanted to make a Western. And he thought that sounded interesting, and so he hired me to write the script.
Okay, so you actually wrote the script for Rust?
Yeah.
And then at some point, did you begin preparations to actually turn that script into a movie?
Yeah, and It was sort of a similar situation with the one I talked about before. You meet with a lot of different people who hopefully can put financing together for you for the movie, and you get close, and then it would fall apart and get close. You have these different iterations, and you start thinking about where you're going to film. But eventually, a group of producers came on that was able to secure financing for it, and so then discussions began about where you would film. New Mexico has a pretty robust tax incentive and works for many reasons for a Western. And then, so from that point forward, it was sort of we would kind of in earnest begin to start preparing to go into what's called pre-production, which is just the period in the months before you actually start filming.
And how did Ms. Hutchins become involved in the movie Rust?
So over time, just generally as a director, if I would see the work of a cinematographer that I admired, I would just make a note of it, make a note of their name. And I had seen a trailer for a movie she did. I think it was called Arch Enemy. And I just was impressed visually. It looked like something that was sort of it fit my style. And so I looked into some of her other work, and I had added her to a list of other names I had put together over the years. I can't remember what publication, if it was an American Cinematographer or something like that, but they had named her one of 10 cinematographers to watch. That's a big deal. And so when the time came, generally I would ask one of the producers to start, if you could reach out to their agents and I could start talking to people and, these are the people I'm most interested in, and they would do that and see who's available and who's not. And then I can't remember the exact number of people I spoke to, the exact number of cinematographers. It was a decent amount, more than 7 or 8. But we had it was all over Zoom. We were in the middle of COVID still. We had a very long Zoom conversation where it's those kind of great conversations where first you're sort of talking about what are your influences, what are your that, and by the end you're just enjoying a great conversation. In the end, it had come down to her and a few other women who I was a fan of, they were all excellent, but something about Helena we were really, really, really in tune with what we both thought the movie should be. She had some really interesting references she would make. And my references would always tend to be a little more mainstream, and she would be talking about some avant-garde Russian filmmaker, and that's a hole in my game, and she was going to fill it, and I loved that. And so that's how I asked the producers to told them that's who I wanted. Please don't botch the deal, because she's great. And so that's how we came to work together. So.
And during the time that you knew Ms. Hutchins, did you get to know anything about her, anything about her background?
Yeah. I mean, she has, she has this backstory that you don't forget when you hear it, right? I mean, she was born in the Ukraine, but she'll tell you, she says, I grew up in this naval submarine base in the Arctic Circle, and you don't hear that generally every day.
More raw courtroom audio from the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial is on the way.
Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment.
From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.